I find that I'm fascinated.
Hello, everyone. Let's talk about the matters of the day, specifically politics and British politics. Recently, there's been a lot of chatter online about Keir Starmer needing to resign. People say that his approval rating is down to 15-16% and that his position is simply untenable. Therefore, something's got to give and he should either call an election or resign, make way for someone else. I think all of that would be a mistake for Starmer. I don't think Starmer needs to go at all. Well, I mean, your opinion may vary, but from his own point of view, there's no actual reason to do any of the things that people are saying. And part of it, remember last week I talked about the factions within the Labour Party. A lot of this stuff is coming from the faction known as the Soft Left or the Brownites, who are in something of a bit of a civil war at the moment. Ed Miliband, who is very much of the Soft Left, is feuding with the Dark Lord himself, Tony Blair. And remember Sue Gray, the Svengali figure at the start of the Starmer regime. She was part of the Soft Left and was a kind of scalp for the Blairites. So this, I mean, it's New Labour all over again, the Blairites versus the Brownites, if anybody remembers, back in the 2000s. They've never quite reconciled their differences, and we're seeing this play out now with signalling and counter-signalling in the press, briefings against each other. You know, the Tories, they're always having psychodramas and backstabbings and coups. Labour, they don't really go in for any of that kind of ruthless Machiavellian stuff, but they do go in for these factional rivalries played out in the press with friendly journalists. And that's pretty much what we're seeing here. To complicate matters, the right-wing press do not like Starmer, and partly because they obviously work for the Tory party. Some of them are aligned with Reform, and they're doing whatever possible as well to try to get rid of Starmer. Now, I've prepared one of my little A4 bits. Yeah, I said there's going to be five critical mistakes, and I'm going to go through these one by one. So the first mistake that Starmer could make right now, and I don't want to like kind of give advice to Labour, but this is from the point of view of, you know, if I was Keir Starmer, if I was in that cabinet, I wouldn't go right now. I wouldn't resign. I wouldn't call an election. Here are the things that he should avoid doing, okay? So number one is U-turning on the Island of Strangers pivot, that speech that he gave 3 weeks ago now, or going back to the rhetoric around Southport and the quote-unquote far right and all of that. The direction that Starmer's gone in with the Island of Strangers speech is good. It sets a tempo. It parks the tanks firmly on Reform's lawn and on the Tory lawn. And it basically gives Labour, you know, a lot of scope to set the tempo. In my opinion, Labour, Morgan McSweeney and his team have not done a very good job of seizing the initiative from that speech. There was, news that legal immigration, came down 50%, which Labour could have done a lot better with. They could have run with that narrative. They could have said, look, it took us 6 months and we've got the number down 50%. They weren't able to get what should have been an easy political win out of that. They allowed the populists, Reform, right-wing press and the Tories to set the narrative on that. A 50% reduction in legal immigration, and they weren't able to translate that into a political win. I feel like old Alistair Campbell and Peter Mandelson back in the heyday of Tone would have been able to make a lot more with that. Instead, what we've got is headlines about record numbers of migrants coming in on the small boats and all of that sort of nonsense, which, again, is a narrative loss. It seems like Starmer's losing control And, you know, you could say, well, this is slop, it's real, it doesn't matter. In terms of the frame game, Labour are losing there, where they could easily turn these situations into big wins, especially against the Tories, but also pushing reform more. I went on the Lotus Eaters last week and they talked a little bit about the tactical nuances of this, where you have reform now tacking to the economic left, Labour tacking to the social right and the anti-immigration right. It would be very easy, I think, for Labour to make more of some of the things that they're doing. And at the moment, I think they're being undermined internally by some of the soft left forces in the party and in the media. But also, they need to be really making more. They're not scoring their goals. They've got wide open chances, if you want to use a football analogy. They're not putting them away. Second point I've got here is making any further concessions to the soft left. So they U-turned on the winter fuel allowance, which you could say is a concession to the soft left. Ed Miliband is still there and is actively feuding with Tony Blair, the Dark Lord himself. Starmer needs to be a lot more ruthless against the soft left. He showed his ruthlessness against the hard left and the Corbynistas. Now he needs to effectively put the soft left to the sword. I'm reminded of an Al Pacino film I watched years ago called Carlito's Way. And at the start of Carlito's Way, there's this guy, Benny, was his name Billy Blanco from the Bronx, or Benny Blanco, was it? Benny Blanco from the Bronx. I can't remember, but some dude from the Benny Blanco from the Bronx kind of accosts Carlito, the Al Pacino character, who's a gangster. And rather than, you know, he has him up against the wall, and rather than showing ruthlessness in that moment, Carlito, for some reason, has a moment of weakness, or he shows mercy in that moment, fails to put his opponent away. And of course, the film is about how that decision comes back to haunt him and ultimately cost him his life because, spoilers, but this is a very old movie. The whole point is that he made the wrong decision by showing mercy in that moment. And Starmer needs to stop worrying about his left flank. He needs to stop worrying about internal dissent within Labour. As Blair always says, say no to your radicals. Be ruthless, as he was before. Sideline all of that nonsense. Sack Ed Miliband right now, and that would put himself more in the driving seat. Okay, it could foster even more dissent. He can put that he's faced all of this stuff down before. He could do it again. Okay, or you could say, well, he's only 15% in popularity. Fact is, if he gets rid of Ed Miliband, he could get a bump from that. If he makes more, if they, because the way you've got to look at it is this, okay? Tony Blair is standing there on one shoulder saying, like, look, the way to get people to like you, Keir, is just to do stuff that the public wants. Do stuff that's popular, and the public will like you. Versus, or at least be seen to fix the problems that is causing people like Nigel Farage to rise in the polls. Okay, that's Blair's argument. The soft left argument is much more ideological, ideologically committed to net zero, ideologically committed to redistributive justice and social justice and all of this other absolute crap, which is why people hate Labour in the first place. And unfortunately, within the party, there are pragmatists like Blair and there are ideologues like Ed Miliband. And until Starmer is decisive against the ideologues, they have a habit of taking over. You know, that was the whole point of getting rid of the Corbynistas in the first place. Let's not forget, it was Miliband who let Corbyn in the first place when he was the leader. Okay, so I really think that's a problem that's festering there, and Starmer needs to be decisive at this moment. Okay. Third. If Starmer believes he needs to call an election because of the polls, right? Every day I can see boomers on social media saying, oh, something's got to give. No, he can't just go on until 2029 being this unpopular. Actually, he can. He has got a huge majority, over 400 seats, plays something like 120, you know, who's the Tories. Let's not forget, Reform have 5 seats. As long as that is the situation, Starmer has a lot of levers he can pull. He has the absolute advantage in Parliament. And if you go back to your classic elite theory, the iron law of oligarchy is such that when you're in power, you've got a lot of levers you can pull that your opponent can't. He needs to lean on those advantages while he's got them. Forget about the polls, because the polls can change. A lot can change between now and 2029. If Starmer goes in a direction that actually fixes the problems that people are unhappy with in this country, there's nothing stopping his approval rating from climbing. A lot of people think, well, the trouble is, once you've formed an opinion, it's very hard to undo that opinion. And a lot of people formed a negative opinion of Keir Starmer very quickly because of Southport. That is true. However, it is not insurmountable, especially in the current era when memories are very short. People can't remember 3 weeks ago, let alone 6 months ago. So if Starmer starts doing, saying the right sorts of things and doing the right sort of things, it's not like people love Farage so much or love the Tories at all that they won't think pragmatically, oh, well, actually, if Starmer's going to do these things, all right, he did some terrible things back at the start of his reign, but he's come good now, type thing. You know, it's not like the British public are ideological in that way, okay? So he will be able to change those polls. Let's not forget, the mass, the crowd, is effeminate. It is there to be led. They want to be led. They can have their minds changed. Like Mark Antony talking to the crowd who were against Caesar, and then he addressed the crowd, friends, Romans, countrymen, and he brought them around. It is possible. And in this moment especially, it is possible. Fourth mistake that Starmer... So stick with what you're doing, is what I'm saying. If Starmer sticks with his game plan and doesn't listen to the noise, sees through what he started in the Islands of Stranger speech, you know, he could still win. Fourth, sacking Morgan McSweeney would be a massive mistake. Now, he sacked Sue Gray and had to U-turn on all the stuff that happened when she came in. That was the correct decision because she was an absolute disaster and was leading, led Starmer, basically, to the worst start any Prime Minister's ever had. Okay, and I'm not going to dress it up. It was an appalling start. McSweeney, for my money, with his Blue Labour stuff, has the right political formula for the country. It's the right idea. This country's never been ideologically committed to laissez-faire or free trade, despite what economists would say, despite what the IEA would tell you. It's never been popular. Even in Victorian Britain, the vast majority of the public were not kind of rabid free traders or anything like that. It was always the ideology of a select group of capitalists and industrialists. For much longer, the country has been economically to the left. There's a certain degree of socialism, and you have to accept that as a political reality. And if you're Labour, that's obviously not a terrible thing, because they are the left-wing party. And that is why Nigel Farage is tacking to be a bit less kind of Thatchery on the economic front as well. Even despite his instinct, he recognises that the working class, needs some, or want, or desire some government assistance, government help, protection, call it what you want. They want the government to have their backs. And frankly, that's not a terrible thing. It's not a terrible thing. If you pay taxes to the government, or if you have a government, the question should always be, well, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? And the working class rightly ask that question. Why not? Every other group does. So, yeah, I'm not even ideologically against that idea. But then the second part of the Morgan McSweeney Blue Labour gambit, if you want, or I don't even think it's a gambit, I think he believes it. I think he actually believes in these ideas. I don't believe McSweeney is a cynic because he's been talking about these things for so long. The second part of the formula is to be socially conservative. To not be woke, to not be, a libertine, to not go all out for degeneracy and the direction that the country's been going in. Because guess what? The working class have always had a certain amount of social conservatism, patriotism, and McSweeney understands that. So the Blue Labour idea fundamentally is the right idea, and people have been talking about this for decades. It's the whole idea of that SDP that Rod Little is a part of. It's the Social Democrats, whatever they call themselves. I think it's SDB, SDP. This is something that that guy who wrote the book The Anywheres and the Somewheres, David Goodhart, he's talked about this. So the Blue Labour formulation is fundamentally the right one. Theresa May, in however ham-fisted a way, also had a little go at doing this. Unfortunately for May, well, she was Theresa May, so it didn't quite come off. But it's basically where the majority of the country are. They're not woke, they're not socially liberal, you know, they're small C conservative, not crazy, not ideological, not like a kind of member of the Spanish Inquisition or something, but reasonable. The British public are always kind of moderate and reasonable about things, but they're small C conservative, not radicals. And the same on the economic front. And that's where Labour really should have a strength. So, and I actually think that Morgan McSweeney has the right idea. He has the right set of tactics. So just like in football, it would be a mistake. It would have been a mistake for Manchester United to sack Alex Ferguson, even though he had a rocky start. It would have been a mistake for Chelsea to get rid of Jose Mourinho just because he had a couple of bad results back when he first started. You have to give these guys a chance. And McSweeney has only really had the run of the green since November sort of time. So it would be a mistake to try to pin things that have gone wrong on McSweeney, because that would be truly the wheels coming off. If he sacks McSweeney, Starmer's gone. In exactly the same way that when Boris Johnson sacked Dominic Cummings, it was over for Johnson. Over. So McSweeney is the brains. He's the Cummings of that outfit. And he needs to be given a chance to do his stuff. Okay? And then the final point, which is related in a way, is ultimately deviating from the teachings of the Dark Lord himself, Tony Blair. Blair is the only Labour figure ever to win three elections on the bounce. One, two, three. The soft left, the Brownites, have never won an election. Ever. Brown came in and immediately lost. Ed Miliband came in, immediately lost. Corbyn, disaster. So electorally, Blair has the right idea for Labour. Okay? You don't have to be Niccolo Machiavelli to work that out. The results speak for themselves. But what that means is, when he tells you, stop doing woke stuff, concentrate on reducing immigration and actually do it, don't just talk about it, actually do it. When he tells you, look, we have to bring in these measures for the security state, just do it. Don't do this thing that he tried to do initially, Starmer. I'm my own man now. I don't listen to Tony. Because every time he's done it, every time he's deviated from the teachings of the Dark Lord, it has led to absolute disaster for Starmer. And, you know, it could be too late. It really could be too late, because that 15% is dire. It really is dire. But quitting now, going now, would be an own goal. It would be weak of Starmer. He has to ride this through. That 15% can be brought around. Let's not forget, even before the election last time, Labour didn't have great numbers before their massive majority win. I know they did it with a technical, speaking of Mourinho, it was like a Mourinho star win, right? It was a technical victory, looked good on paper, but it was like they won with it was like they had a big result without controlling the possession. They won on the counter or something like that. Football analogies can go too far, but you understand what I'm saying. So yes, this is my assessment at the moment of the Starmer situation. A little bit of a straight back politics video for you today, but I wanted to talk about this. Before I go, people, since I've been doing these videos straight to camera, loads of people are saying you need to do these with the hood up. Look, I tried doing that, and I just think it looks silly. It's too much. I'll just show you one time. I'll show you one time what it looks like, so you stop asking me, okay? Right? If I put the hood up, hold on. If I put the hood up, it's just too much. To do a video like this, and to expect to be taken seriously, is too much. So I cannot, I think the hood down, but I just wanted to do it one time, so you believe me. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency, buy it now, and I'll see you next time.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.